Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 31st day of May, year 2020. I'm Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Brother Mike from Wales will join us, and boom, major questions and answers. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shema, and welcome to the program. Borada. Kumri Ambith. As always, callers will be welcome, but we do ask that you maintain decorum and watch language. Also, try not to walk over each other, especially when there's more than two calls on the line at the same time. We are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody's muted until such time as I unmute you. And our website is www.pastordan.net. And that is for now. I'm having some trouble with that site, and if it continues, I may not be using it much longer. I pay for that site, and lately it seems like somebody's trying to interfere with my keeping it up to date. So if it disappears, it disappears. You'll have to use the Wayback Machine if there was something on there you wanted. Or contact me. I will be glad to get you anything you need that was on the site. So again, we'll see how it goes. But I have to do some checking as to what's going wrong with that, the website. And Brother Mike, are you with us?
I certainly am, sir.
Ah, excellent, excellent. Okay. It sounds like the delay is not quite as bad today.
No, I connected, I was on the line ready to go, which is great. Boradar and Pranandar.
Pranandar, yes. You guys are 5 hours ahead of us, so.
Yeah. Your pronunciation is getting better, Brother Dan.
Ah, well, thank you. Well, that's thanks to you, and I have to give credit where it's due, Google Translate. And a couple of the websites that you sent my way, the YouTubers that teach it. But you know what I found strange? It's just like one time I went to a gathering and I said something in German that had been sent to me. I can't remember what it is now, but this was many years ago. And after I got done with my presentation, I was at the back of the meeting hall. And a fellow walked up to me and he said, you butchered that. And I said, what? He said, well, you butchered that. That's not how you say it. And I thought, well, wait a minute. I got it from a German fellow I knew. But then I came to find out that German is pronounced different in the three different major sections. Like Northern Germany doesn't pronounce the same as Central Germany, and Southern Germany doesn't pronounce like Northern and Central. So this guy obviously came from a province other than where the guy that gave me the saying came from. You know what I mean? So
yeah, it's a dialect thing, Brother Dan. Yeah, it's the same in the States, isn't it, if you think about it, if you go from the North to the South.
Right, and, exactly.
You know, and even if you think about the Boston accent to the New York accent.
Oh,
not
yeah,
far away.
Absolutely. Well, I give out an example.
Not far away, but you know, a big difference in accent.
Right. I remember when I was in high school, I moved from the state of Pennsylvania to South Jersey, and that's not that those two states are right next to each other, and so it was only about 150 miles that I moved. But I went to one of my first classes, and the teacher was asking me to answer one of the history questions. And I stood up and I gave my response, and three or four of the students in the class said, what did he say? So only 150 miles apart, and yet my Pennsylvania Dutch accent and the way we expressed ourselves was foreign to people in South Jersey. So Anyway, that being said, Brother Mike, there's so much crap going on today. I want to let people know that the fear porn right now is probably the highest I've ever seen in my life. And we need to step back for a minute and realize that we're being played by every source of information that's out there, especially the controlled media. It's 100% scripted, including the black man that was supposedly killed by the white cop. Well, you find out they both worked together. They both were in porn. They knew each other. It's all, and I believe the guy was Jewish. So here again, we got actors, bad actors. They put together a staged event, and now all these cities, including Miami last night, was in a curfew. Now, think about this. A couple hundred people, supposedly, and these are all actors, get in downtown Miami, and they shut the whole county down. The whole county was on a curfew. Why would you put a curfew on the whole damn county for a couple hundred people in downtown Miami? And, you know, I live just below Miami. I'm going to tell you something. Miami is huge. There's over 1 million people in the city of Miami. A couple hundred people getting together is not a big thing. I mean, if you go to the beaches down here in the summertime, you're going to get thousands upon thousands of people in an area. And that doesn't get anybody upset, but here we're supposed to believe that the entire county needs to be shut down because of a couple hundred paid actors that come into our county. Over.
Yeah, you're completely right. As I mentioned last week, I do watch very, very closely what's going on in the States, as I do what's going on over here in Britain as well. It's obvious, as you rightly said there, Brother Dan, it's all been scripted. This stage in the plan is, the thing is, they very deliberately kept people in their own houses. Now, of course, the city centers are areas where they can kind of control. They can control, it's like a theater, and they can control, the comings and goings. Now, it's obvious to me that this QAnon whole thing, the Q thing, is a beast thing. It's an image of the beast that people are looking to. They're looking to Trump, and they're looking to this QAnon and the white horse coming over the hill to save everybody. This is complete fiction. What we have to do is we have to look at not what the symptoms are at the moment. It's like what's going on day by day. We have to look at the actual overall disease and what's behind the whole thing. Well, I'm not the most intelligent person on this earth, but even I've worked out it's all about economics. It's basically the situation is here, as all the crashes throughout history have been, going back to the Wall Street crash in 2008 and so on and so forth. And even the wars, of course, because they cause financial crashes after the war comes to an end, like, for example, Germany in 1918 and 1945, etc. And, of course, during the wars themselves, these are opportunities for these robbers to go out and steal gold and all the valuable things around the world, etc., resources and land. So, of course, this has all been scripted. What we're really going through at the moment is these banksters, they just act day by day, they're actually getting to grips with even more of the wealth of the world. United States, Britain, Europe, everywhere else. What they're doing, they're crashing all the small businesses, and means that the large, as I mentioned last week, all the large corporations then, of course, which are really obviously owned by the banks are actually just taking more and more of the wealth. And this is just part of the agenda. Overall agenda. How long before the whole thing comes to a climax? I don't know. I can't forecast that. But basically, every day is getting closer and closer to the world that they want it to be. Yahweh is actually watching everything here, and this is all being worked out. The thing is, a lot of we live in linear time. we go, you know, we go through the days and the weeks and the months and the years, and we have our lifespan of possibly about 80 years. But that to God, to Yahweh, is just a small like sand on the beach. Basically, you know, in God's time, everything is playing out just now. Like, we've gone through 2,000 years of history since you know, Yeshua being on the cross. But for God, that's just a you know, basically just a moment in time for God. But basically, I believe that ever since Calvary, we have been in tribulation ever since in the last 2,000 years, and it's just an ongoing process. And how long this tribulation is going to last? Well, I don't know, because I don't profess to know the mind of God. But you know, if it's not now, I don't know how further humanity and civilization, which is inverted commas, if that really truly exists, can deteriorate any further, Dan. Over.
Well, I think you're right. I think we're in big trouble, and it's pretty obvious to me that the enemy does not want the middle class to survive. And to me, this is all textbook Bolshevik insurrection. They did the same thing to our Russian cousins 100 years ago. If you read any of the books by Alexander Solzhenitsyn and many others about how the Bolshevik Zionist Bolsheviks did what they did to the Russians, they're doing the exact same thing here, only it's 100 years later, so the technology and the methodology has changed a little bit, but the overall goal has not changed at all. Is subvert the white Christian culture, suppress the white man, because he's the one that they're worried about. He's the only one who can stop them. And erase our culture, our history, our moral values, debase our currency. It's all textbook for taking down a white civilization and converting it to Judaic communists. So anyway, that's how I see it. I see it textbook. Over.
Yeah, I agree with Dan. And what we have to look at it now, we're actually looking at it from a materialistic, sort of three-dimensional kind of human kind of way. But what we have to do is we have to turn it around to the thing that matters the most, really, which is it's from God's point of view, Yahweh's point of view. The situation is this. You know, like I said, we're dealing with linear time, but for God, everything's already played out. And then, you know, the end before the beginning and all this kind of stuff, first and the last. So what we're looking at as a situation is I expect the vast majority of the people listening today, and will listen on the download as well, are people who believe they are people of the book. And I mean the book of life, not just the scriptures themselves. I'm talking about the book of life. Now, we like I mentioned last week, we have been put into this world in the physical body, and it's a test to see whether we're going to be there and going to be righteous enough through Yeshua to be there at the end of time, to actually be there in the kingdom of God. Yeah, and so basically, you know, we as you mentioned, the white Caucasian people, we are the people in that book. We are in the book of life. Now, of course, this eternal game has been going on where the adversary, Hashatan, is looking to, he knows he's lost already, but he's looking to drag as many souls into hell with him. And that's basically what we're looking at. It's this game has been going on for thousands of years, and we're just coming to the climax now. So yeah, so the thing is, we're living, remember, we have to understand that, you know, Lucifer, the devil, the adversary, is actually being given free rein to be the accuser of us. And what will be, will be. And this is what we're going through, this tribulation. And of course, Satan's instruments are actually just doing as much as they can to drag us down. And of course, this is all the governments. We cannot respect any of these governments or put any faith in these governments to have a turnaround. My personal point of view is this. We can only look to Yeshua to return. And we are just holding We're occupying, circling the wagons until that happens. We have to start by from within, of actually walking with God day by day, waking up every day on that basis, and then pulling together collectively to, as I said, to circle the wagons, to defend ourselves against these things that are happening. But you've got this Q thing going on. You've got these things with this supposed murder. Well, first thing is, from what I understand, is there isn't actually, well, when this George Floyd character was supposedly killed, there is no evidence that he was actually killed. Apparently, he was taken away by the paramedics, and apparently the film doesn't show any of the paramedics actually testing to see if he had a pulse. So it's all very wrong. The guy, this Chauvin guy who's supposed to have been arrested, well, there's no video to prove that he's actually been arrested. And if so, and also, even if he has, what about the other three guys who are supposed to have been involved? To me, it's just a major con. It's all been pre-organized and pre-planned, hence the very, very fast movement in of these Antifa people into the city straight away. It's all been worked out beforehand. This is extremely unlikely. The logistics behind it, would have had to be organized for coachloads of people to coming into the cities, etc. This is all part of the plan. And basically, we're looking at it from both sides, because the Trump is involved, and the police, and the senators, the congressmen, the whole thing. And if anybody starts to think, well, hey, hang on a minute, the congressmen and the Senate, there are good guys there. Well, let's be honest about it. They should realize the fact that all the congressmen know straight away, as soon as they go into Congress, and the representatives all know that their managers are part of a corporate system. So to look to them to actually to give you any relief or remedy, this is complete fantasy. So this is the world that we're living in. So forget all the media, forget all these people, forget all these people, all these supposed white hats, and even people like Colonel Potter. I've watched some of his stuff recently. I'm not even quite sure whether he's actually on the side of the righteous either with some of the things that he says either. So my advice is through. And but not get depressed, because the war's been won already. Small battles day by day. Just stick to the faith and just realize the fact that we're just going through a fantasy at the moment here, really. Over.
Yeah, I agree with you, and thanks, by the way, for using the over thing. I know it sounds funny to some people, but again, when you're in radio communications like we were in the military or even in the power plants, if you don't do that, it just turns into chaos. So Robert's Rules of Order and proper phone and radio etiquette help get a job accomplished. But yeah, you're right. I think we've been in tribulation for a long time. I think the scriptures as we have them today in the Bible that was created by the Catholic Church has been contaminated. The original manuscripts, most of them do not exist. There's almost nothing in ancient Hebrew that exists at this time. The Septuagint, which is in Greek, was translated many centuries ago in Egypt by the scholars of the day, and they had the original Paleo-Hebrew manuscripts to look at. So actually the closest thing we've got to it is the Greek Septuagint. But more importantly, what we have to understand is that we're in real-time situation with our Heavenly Father, and we have to stop thinking everything's written in stone, because even in the scriptures as we have them, there's passages that talk about people like Jacob when he argued and wrestled with an angel, when he argued with the Father, when Abraham and Lot were in conversation with Yahweh and the angels, and things weren't, and even Jonah. Jonah was able to turn things from being an absolute destruction because he got the people to repent. So I think the main thing we need to take away from that is the fact that stop thinking that everything is in stone and that we can't change anything, okay? We were put here to resist evil, as it says in Proverbs and in the Psalms. We were put here to resist evil with everything that's in our bodies, our heart, mind, and soul. We are to resist evil and to stop it in its tracks, and that's what we should be doing. We're sitting on our asses thinking that either a rapture is going to come or we shouldn't get our fingers and hands dirty in politics, and that's all nonsensical. We are put here to govern and to administer Yahweh's word on this earth, teach it to all mankind, and to implement his law and see that his law is obeyed, because his law brings peace and prosperity to all mankind, not just to the Adamic world, but to this whole earth. So, you know, stop thinking negatively, stop thinking like a loser, and start thinking like an overcomer and a warrior and a victor in this battle. Over.
Yeah, I totally agree, Dan. Yes, exactly, because the powers that should not be, who of course are instruments of you know who, we have this idea that in all is lost, and of course it's just another way of trying to pull us away from the truth. You know, it seems that on a day-to-day basis, as we're living through it, it's like it's the end for everybody, and you know, woe is me, and all this kind of stuff. But this is the kind of tribulation that we've been going through. But the thing is, for the 2,000 years, as we both mentioned, and if we think, you know, we have to put everything into perspective, because if anybody has read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, you know, we have to look at the history of, if we go back to before America was founded, of course, in Europe we had many thousands of Christians who were actually killed in horrific ways, you know, hung, drawn and quartered, burnt to death at the stake. You know, these actually in England, even like King James, at the time of King James, supposedly, you know, because the King James Bible, he's supposed to be a holy guy, supposedly. But this is utter rubbish, because at his time, he instigated punishment against any Catholics or anybody who was said to be a Catholic. They were hung, drawn, and quartered. They were hung until the fact that they were unconscious, brought back to consciousness, and then their arms, legs, and head were chopped off. Before that happened, their entrails were actually cut out. I don't want to be more graphic than that. But these are the actions of supposedly Christian people, you know. And, you know, the thing is, people also look at, you know, hero worship as well. At the moment, we've got this Trump situation going on. And, of course, but through human history, we've had this supposed thing about the divine right of kings and queens. Well, again, that's just utter rot as well, because pretty much all the kings and queens have been corrupt. Because, you know, Yahweh God told us at the start, you know, kings is actually a very, very bad concept. The only king to have is under a theocracy, which is basically, you know, God is the only king through his son. This is the only king. This is the only system that works. Because every political system, from the dawn of time, has always failed. You know, we've had kings and queens, that aspect. We've had communism, we've had fascism, and we've got democracy, so-called democracy, which democracy appears to be such a wonderful device, but in reality, it's a political system of the lynch mob, because all you need to have is the 51 out of 100. And that could be artificially done. So you get 51% of whoever votes, and they actually determine what goes on. Well, you know, we all know the fact that when it comes to elections, not many people really turn out. So in the United States, for example, how many truly actually vote every 4 years for a president? It may actually only be a quarter of the whole population. So really, it's, as you said, it's a mob mentality of democracy. So none of these systems work. It's all kabuki theater from the left to the right. So let's be fair. There's only one system that works. That's theocracy from God, and that's what we need to go back to. So the tribulation that we're going through at the moment, we are actually deserving of it as well, you know, because, okay, yeah, we accept that we are the people, the book, we are the people of the history of the scriptures, we are those people going back to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, etc. And what was happening to those people throughout millennia? They said at one stage, they said, yeah, we're going to go with you, God, yeah. And then the very next minute, look at Aaron. As soon as Moses goes away for 40 days to get the Ten Commandments, as soon as he comes back, he finds that even Aaron, his own brother, who's supposed to be, you know, the head of the Levites, he's actually then getting this golden calf right away. This is how fickle man is, you know. So this is just really God's punishment against us. Because let's be honest about it. We are all sinners before God. None of us actually have any perfection at all, and we are deserving of this tribulation. So it's a case of accepting that, realizing the fact that we are these worms, we are the sinners, and you know, don't say woe is me. Just think, well, okay, look, we have the mercy of God. We've been given the gift of life again today. And hopefully, God willing, we'll have a gift of life tomorrow. Let's not take that for granted. Get off our asses, as we say here in England or in Britain. Get off our asses and actually circle the wagons. Let's not just be defensive. Let's be proactive as well. Let's fight back. Let's push back. And just don't let them do this. Because the more that we sit back, the more and more they're going to do to us. Over.
Amen. Amen, brother. You're right. We do need to be more proactive. We need to get involved. We need to do lots of things. I did come across some commentary by certain folks, which makes a lot of sense to me. The enemy is losing this battle. All of the things that we're seeing are staged events. Everything. Everything is being staged. Why? Because they're losing. And they're losing because there is a general awakening amongst the people on this earth. And they're awakening to the corruption of the bankers and the governments, etc. And here's a case in point. I talked to a family member last night, and they have a company similar to Comcast. I'll just pick Comcast out because most people know what that is. So when they called them to talk to them about their subscription, they said, by the way, is it your intention to install the 5G system in the near future? And the woman on the other end of the line said, you know, actually we're not, because we've had so many people call us to ask us that question, and they said, if you're going to install 5G, you can cancel my subscription. So mainstream media is not telling anybody that. Not even alternative media is talking about the fact that right here, just kind of coincidentally, somebody I know actually called Comcast to find out about the installation of 5G, and they were told that they're already getting so many complaints that they're not going to install it. Because people, this is the power we have. People said, well, yes, if you install it, I'm going to cancel my subscription. I will not buy your product if it's under 5G. So again, we have the power. It's always been with us. We have the power of our numbers. And the most important thing, we have the power of the purse, because even though the enemy can create money out of thin air, they still need us to show up for work. They still need us to buy their garbage, because if we're not buying their lies and we don't agree to work in their churches or their businesses as slave labor, their whole system fails. So sometimes we just need to realize just how much power we have, and we must never stop waking people up. We must never stop telling the truth and fighting, because the enemy is pulling out all the stops to propagandize us that we can't win, that they have all the power, they have all the money, all the military, all the police on their side, when all the kabuki theater is to convince us of that when the reality is they're losing ground. They're losing ground very fast. And just like in Kentucky, where the militia took a full-size dummy and hung it in a tree and put a picture of the face of the governor of Kentucky on the face of the dummy. So they hung the governor of Kentucky in effigy. Okay, well, that's significant. Okay, that is significant. And the fact that we had a Second Amendment rallies were becoming very, very prominent in this country, and there was a very large contingent of people that were starting to talk about secession from the various states that they were in over the Second Amendment, and then all of a sudden this came about. Okay, so this gives them cover and a way to shut down dissent. They're afraid, Mike. That's my opinion. They're afraid, and that's why we gotta keep the pressure up on them. Over.
Yeah, I totally agree, Brother Dan. They realize, and this is why, going back to what I said last week, I really truly believe. I'm saying it in a hopeful way. About, you know, I really truly believe that we are, if not at the end of time, pretty very close to it, because I don't really see how much further they can go for the world to deteriorate any further, because everything is, all the kind of things that are actually on the earth at the time of Noah are here at the moment, and it's not just in actually on the earth. I'm talking about where it matters most, because the evilness is being directed at us, the people of the book. I do care about other people on the earth, you know, the Chinese, the Indians, the Africans, etc. However, let's realize, you know, we have to realize the fact this evil is being directed at us in America, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, and Europe. Effectively, that's where it's being directed at. Okay, yeah, it's, you know, the worldwide lockdown, it's going to have really a terrible effect on the rest of, we're Adamites, but on humanity, as it were. You know, a lot of people will be starving to death over in Africa and even in India as well, you know, and other parts of the world. So this is really bad for everybody. But, the focus is on ourselves. And as you rightly say, we know that the adversary knows that his time is short. And yes, the pressure's been brought to bear. And pretty much, I just reinforce and underline what I said last week, which is really we have to make sure that we hold our ground, we overcome, and yeah, okay, we can keep ourselves abreast of what's going on by just making sure that there are a few people. A few sources of information, because I'm not suggesting that we actually hide our heads in the sand like ostriches. We have to still keep an eye on what's going on with what the enemy are doing. Just like in Sun Tzu's The Art of War, we need to know our enemy. We need to keep abreast of what's going on, but also keep a sense of our balance. The fact that more time should be thinking about keeping in the word. Day to day, because it is really true comfort. Being there for your family and for your community. I think that's the biggest factor. And as Brother Dan just mentioned, I believe now we need to find ways of getting together to push back even more so, because of course it appears to be succeeding, because they are weak. They are really just bullies. And bullies are all show, they're all facade, and they're rattling their swords and everything. But when you push them, it only takes a small amount of pushback, and they will fall, because that's it's in their nature. They do not have honor as a part of their code. They are weak people, and they will fall. Over.
Yeah, amen. Amen to that. All right, well, like I said, at current events, the main thing to do is have a questioning attitude. I read an article by a lady by the name of Smallwood over at News with Views, and she has a very excellent point of view. It's almost like she listens to some of our broadcasts, because she goes what happened to people being able to think? And then she tears apart all of the false flags, and she talks about the fact that we're being manipulated by these assholes all the time. We got to stop doing that. We got to start questioning. And here's something people have to understand. You got to remember, it's been almost two decades since 9/11. 9/11 was the greatest act of terror in any country at any time, especially here in the United States. That changed the world we lived in dramatically. Those of us that were awake in 2001, we knew that they were lying. The day it happened, we knew they were lying. It took friends and family of mine over 10 years to finally realize that the government was lying. 10 years, sometimes more. Now, this police officer or this actor, let's call him an actor, this actor in a police uniform and this black man, another actor, put on a staged event to in order for race riots to try to be started, but that didn't work either because most of the rioters are being bussed in from other areas, and some of the rioters are even police officers. They've been caught. Okay, now, that happened, and within 24 hours, we determined that it was a lie from the beginning. So two decades ago, it took over 10 years to get people to wake up. Today, almost every alternative media channel within 24 hours had completely destroyed this staged event. So what I'm trying to say is we have good news. Our people are waking up. The people of the world are waking up to the criminals of the world, which are what? International bankers, the mainstream centralized churches like the Roman Catholic Church. Anything that's huge and centralized is communist. So the Catholic Church is being exposed. The central governments are being exposed. And the central bankers. And they're all in bed with the corporations, which are also centralization of business. All of them together are the criminals. Every act of terror is something that they financed or orchestrated. Every act of mass murder, everything that we see in the Kabuki theater that's being played out can be laid at their feet. And the world is waking up to that. And we say hallelujah. So with that note now, Mike, I just wanted to ask if you want to go get into some of the historical and biblical stuff that you had told me about. Over.
Yeah. Just before we do that, one final thought on what we've been talking about is, you know, this waking up now is great because, hopefully we're going to get a larger amount of people who are going to be coming to the truth. Because this is tipping the scale, and in the scriptures it does say Yeshua asks, will there be faith on the earth when I return? Right. And I think that's a key thing to focus on, because I really do believe that people have been thinking in the past, you know, Jesus is going to come here, Jesus is going to come like 1,000 years ago. There's been signs going on with, you know, wars and rumors of wars, which have been going on for the last 2,000 years. But I think what's really been lacking, and I think is this groundswell of faith. And this gives me more of a confidence to think that we are truly getting towards the end, because Yeshua wants to come back, but he wants to have something to work with. You know, he has to have some people to work with. And of course, I think before that, you know, probably God thought there wasn't enough people to work with. Now he has enough people to work with. And, you know, this is the time. And there we are. So over.
Amen to that. Now, before we get into any other things, I had a couple requests from listeners because those of us with Welsh blood in us are really enjoying, even though we don't do a lot of things in the original tongue, just the fact that we just say like bore da and things like that and browd bore da. So they're finding it resonates with them. Just like when I listen to Charlotte Church sing hymns in Welsh, it just sends chills up and down my arms.
She's from Cardiff, Dan. She's from my home city. I could tell you something, for example, very, very. The thing is, I come from the capital of Wales, and there's about 300,000 people, just over 300,000 people living. So really, compared to the cities in the States, it's pretty, you know, small potatoes. But still, our city in our own tongue, in Cymraeg, which is our language, is Caerdydd, which is Caerdydd. The double D is a sound, like a TH together, yeah? So mm-hmm. I am from Caerdydd, and from the land of Cymru. So when Pastor Dan mentions at the start, Cymru and Byth, you know, Wales forever, you know? So basically, as I mentioned last week, the thing is the Cymraeg is the closest thing to Hebrew spoken on the earth today, and it's good that it's encouraging that it's actually finding there are more people. It's re-emerging in Wales again now here. So that's Caerdydd anyway. So yeah, so this is the original tongues we're talking about here. Over.
Okay, and along that line, I've got several requests from listeners who would like you to read a portion of Scripture in Welsh. If you have something that you would prefer to read, go ahead. If not, I was going to suggest Luke 19, verse 27, which is a Scripture I believe that we all should know by heart. Because I believe that is a time that's coming in the near future. So if you have a favorite passage to read in Welsh, then read it. Or if you don't, then just go to Luke 19 and 27.
Yeah, okay. On that, I would have to prepare for you, Dan, because I have to get the pronunciation right. Because I have to be honest with you, I'm an English teacher. And, of course, I use English day to day, so Welsh language is not something I use all the time. Yeah, so I'll be more than pleased to read something out, but what I need to do, maybe that will have to be on the next show, because I would have to practice to make sure I get my pronunciation right, if that's okay. But, there are certain words that, you know, I'm familiar with day to day, because I'm 56, and when I went to school in high school, public school, we had, 300 people, 300 children, male and female, at that time, and only 30 could actually take the Welsh class. And so I couldn't actually get into that class. I ended up taking Welsh studies, which is, you know, Welsh history, etc. So my nephews speak... can speak Welsh on a day-to-day basis. I don't. So yeah, I'd be more than pleased to actually read some scripture, but I would need to prepare for that to actually get it completely right, because I don't want to botch it up. perhaps I can do that on the next time.
Yeah, absolutely. That's not a problem. So we'll put that down for the next time. And so then we can get into some of the material that you wanted to present to the audience today, if you want. Over.
Yeah, just so the fact that it's questions and answers. And maybe I noticed when I came onto the call, there were a few people also listening in. So if anybody wants to come in, the whole thing to do with today was having a bit more of a freer concept. Because we've covered what's been going on with events over and over again. So I don't really think there's anything more we can say on that at the moment. So I thought maybe if we could have short question and answers to the fact that, you know, maybe even people could want to do actually to ring in, maybe they have some sort of scripture that they're not clear on, and maybe you could give them some more of an idea about, you know, what you think it would mean, you know. Because I know there's commentaries out there and everything else, and you know, as far as I know, you do a lot of research and study, and as I do as well. But possibly, a lot of people actually have children, have very, very busy lives. Even though there's not maybe not maybe they're not back to work at the moment, but possibly they don't get really so much time to get into the study, and so they don't look at the commentaries by Matthew Henry and so forth, and maybe they would just like to have a bit more of an understanding on certain scriptures, certain key scriptures. So maybe somebody wants to ring in about that, or anything else they want to ask about. But yeah, fire away with one of the questions that I sent you in the email.
Yeah, okay. We got a caller. By the way, Mike, I last night I checked for that email. It was there. I looked at it. I said, good. This morning, it's disappeared. I have no idea what happened to it. I did not delete it, so I don't have those questions. But in the meantime, Phil from Florida has called in, and Phil, can you hear me? Phil? Okay, something happened there. It shows that Phil wanted to make a comment. Phil, can you hear me? You must be muted at your end. You're not at my end. Let's try this one here.
Okay, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Now I can.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, it's a great show. I greatly appreciate your show, and it's very enlightening and stuff. And I'd like to know I think that what's going on today is such a staged event, particularly what's going on with all these riots and everything. I see that this police officer actually knew the guy that his supposed victim. And there were pretty bad riots today or last night in Tampa, and they had a black girl on there who said I apologize for ransacking your city, but it had to be done in order to be heard. And I think part of it is that there's elements within the minority population who knows that they can't govern themselves, and. And I think that's part of it. So, they also released a picture of the supposed victim, this black guy, and the picture was so obviously staged because he was in the lobby of where the two had worked together as security agents, and he's standing there with his arms folded in front of him like he would bury a body in a coffin. With a very somber face on his, you know, and it was so obviously, a psyop there. So, do they think that are there going to be riots and stuff over in Europe, like they're over here?
Well, they're actually, Phil. Nice to speak to you. I've heard your voice. I think about two weeks ago. And you had a fantastic conversation with Brother Dan and Henry at the time, which was really great. Welcome.
Thank you,
brother. So what's been going on in Europe? Actually, we are very controlled here in Britain. Mm-hmm. We've been living in a police state for quite a while. We also don't actually have the same amount of we don't have the same sort of amount of black people as you do, if I can call them, black people, if I can say that. in Britain, we have more Asian people really in Britain than we do have, and they seem to be, apart from the Muslims, pretty radical. The other Asians, like the Indian people, they have businesses and they're doctors, so they don't go rioting. And going back to what you were saying, Phil, as well, if you notice straight away that the riots, vast majority, 90-odd% of people are black, and of course they've been shipped in there. And what are they doing? They're just looting. They're stealing everything from the shops, from your stores. So these people are not righteous people, in any way, shape, or fashion. But going back to Europe, yeah, there's a lot of pushback in lots of countries where they're more. Even though their police are quite maybe as strong as they are in Britain, but they seem to be a bit more got more guts about them. In France, for example, you know, have the yellow jackets. It's been going on for quite a while, but there's been a lot of pushback in France and in Germany. It's very very difficult though in Germany, because people don't realize that there's 35,000 U.S. troops alone still stationed in Germany, and they've been there since 1944. And then you have to question what are these U.S. troops doing in Germany? Because of course they can have their own armed forces. So that's another story. But yeah, so but there's been more pushback in continental Europe than there has been in Britain. In fact, let's be honest about it, it's been completely passive here in Britain, because like I said, not just the police state, but the newspapers and the media, the BBC, the Bolshevik Broadcasting Corporation, control the minds of pretty much the vast majority of people. And I think we do have people waking up over here in Britain, but possibly percentage-wise, smaller number than there are in America and continental Europe. Because I think essentially a lot of people here in Britain are very, very conservative-minded and cannot believe that the system and the royals would ever do anything against them. Over.
Thank you so much for those kind words. I greatly do appreciate that. And I think one of the things that I appreciate about the times that we live in, as though they are rather crazy, and they do allow us to heal and put things in perspective and be able to forgive each other for our foolishness in the past, because we're all in this together, and we're not having these endless wars between nations. And I'm 1/8 Welsh, by the way. So, it's an honor to speak with you. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Phil. But let's be fair as well. You know, I also have English blood as well, and I also have Scandinavian blood. My great grandfather was from Tromsø in the north of Norway, so from the tribe of Dan. So the thing is, you know, it's not just the Welsh thing we've kind of been talking about. Because in America, we obviously have Welsh. We have more English and Scots and Irish and Germans rather than Welsh. But hey, we're all brothers of the book. As you rightly said, we've had more time to think. So in a way, this is all part of God's plan. I really do believe that people had more time. Two major positives have come out of this particular time of lockdown is people have had more time with their families, which has really been excellent. I've noticed that when we've been allowed to get out and about, there's a lot of families are together. The fathers are not in work. They're actually with their children, which is fantastic. They're spending quality time with their wives and their children, which is one good thing about this. And the second good thing as well is the fact that with the power of the internet, by finding reliable sources, people have been able to dig more deeply into the truth. And that's why, going back to what Brother Dan was mentioning a few minutes ago, the fact that people are actually realizing far quicker, instead of being 20 years from 9/11, people are actually working it out pretty much a few minutes after the event is announced. People are realizing that it's all staged. Over.
Yep, very good, guys. And again, Mike, I apologize. Like I said, I had those list of questions last night, and something has happened. Either my brain ceases to function properly today, or there's been a major glitch. So if you could resend them to me, I'd appreciate it. But, I think there is a rise in consciousness, and we keep talking about Malachi chapter 4, and I wish people would really go there. And that song of Elijah and Song of Ezekiel by Phil Wilbur, excellent motivational music if you want to get inspired, because we are in the days of Elijah, and one of the signs of Elijah's period of time is that our people would look to reunite as a family. And I believe that's happening as our brothers and sisters all across this earth are reaching out using the modern technology that we have, and we're realizing that we're kin, no matter where we are, no matter which tribe we're from, no matter which language we speak today, that within our DNA and blood, we're all family, and we need to stop allowing these imposter people called Jews, the Revelation 2:9 people, and their use of money to cause our people to be at war with one another. So we got to stop doing that. We have to come back together as a family, operate as a family, take care of each other, and stop allowing these monsters with their fake money system to get our people to do things that are detrimental to our kind. You know, we have to come back and do that. And I believe we can overthrow this beast, and then we'll see true prosperity come back on the earth. Over.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dan. I personally don't believe that we're going to be able to defeat the adversary alone. There are things that we can do, and I think the main pushback, we can do, but I do not believe whatever we do, we can actually bring down the system by ourselves. But I believe that what Yahweh is looking for us to do is to make a stand and to push back as far as we can do. And I do really do believe then that Yeshua will come down and finish the job. And that's what I believe. But, you know, looking at some of the further research that I've done in the last few days and few weeks, I can see now how everything, is being put together, as I was mentioning last week, all these man-made systems are all put there by the usual suspects, and they're using every discipline against this. They're using education, and they use science. As soon as we go to school, we're shown a globe, and we're brainwashed into that particular thing. We're brainwashed with gravity, and we're brainwashed with evolution. All these man-made theories, which cannot be proved. This all indoctrination that we get, so the educational system, and it's backed up in novels and comics when we were children, and of course then and newspapers and magazines and the television, et cetera, all this is a network, a matrix of lies and deceit, and to pull us away from the truth. And I think the answer really is truly just to get into the word daily, because as soon as you start to open the book and start to read the truth there, it gives you immediate comfort, and it starts to make you feel easier in your mind, and you get more relaxed about things, and you realize the fact that yes, the war has been won. And by getting into the truth and realizing, going back to the moral code, realizing that justice, all these things that have been put up there for us to hold things together, and the adversary, the usual suspects, are looking to go against every one of those planks of truth that actually God has put there for us. Over.
Yeah, amen. Any other comments, Phil?
I found that the timing of these riots and everything with COVID and everything else was rather interesting this past few days with the SpaceX launch, and it's in the kind of the contraction between with the glorification of something that's totally fake, like this space program, and what's going on with all these riots. And I remember an interview with William Shatner, who played the Captain Kirk in the original Star Trek, and they asked him, "Well, what do you think? What's the difference between what do you think the major difference is between NASA, science like NASA, and science fiction like Star Trek?" And he said, "There really isn't any difference." And so that pretty much tells you what's going on. So, and the symbolism there is so ridiculous. And it's just a way of siphoning off our resources to play this silly game of space exploration and everything else. So, over.
Well, yeah, exactly, Phil. And the thing is, if we think about the Star Trek, I grew up watching the William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy, who's also Jew. William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy are both Jews anyway, as you know. But if you look at the cast, you've got the black person there, you've got the Russian guy, Chekhov, and you've got the Asian guy. It was all to do with bringing in multiculturalism and putting different things with the actual communicator they had. It actually looks almost exactly like the first Ericsson mobile phones, the cell phones, etc. So they're laughing at us. They're saying, well, we have all this technology. We already have it now. We've had it for decades. And they actually continue to laugh at us. So what I would say to anybody who has any kind of intelligence is to turn off the television or just throw it out the window, because at the end of the day, it's all programming. All the movies and the television programs in there, they have things there which will actually try to break down people's morality and to try to get people into the beast system. Over.
Yeah, amen. We got Henry from Connecticut has joined us. Welcome to the program, Henry.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to ask a question of Mike. If he could elaborate in a brief way, not so much like a deep dive, but just kind of a synopsis on the relationship between Jews and the Jesuits.
Yes, there's a guy. The Jesuits are actually started by a guy called Loyola. He's actually a Jew, the usual suspect. And of course, so basically, in the early days, they are the counter reformers, as it were. Because originally it was just the Catholic Church. Before that, we had the Church in Britain. Before 1066, before the Catholics came to Britain, we already had a church here in Britain, which was able to be, defended and uniquely from the death of Christ, or resurrection, all the way to 1066. So it was 11 centuries there where we were allowed to have a original church here. Because the Catholics came in, but then you had Luther. Martin Luther is a German Catholic, and he was the guy who started this Reformation, a guy called Zwingli from Switzerland, and the Jew John Cohen, known as John Calvin. So they're the three instrumental people behind the Reformation in Europe. Right. And then what the Catholics, another part of the Kabuki theater, which was just allow for more deaths throughout Europe, because at that time of Reformation, it's many, many thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people throughout Europe have been killed through the centuries, from the Reformation period. And that's, so basically, that's just another strategy from the adversary, in my opinion. So you have this Reformation. It turns out, I've been doing a bit of digging into Martin Luther. It appears that his mother's name was Lindemann, so he was also a Jew. As was Calvin, and possibly Zwingli were. So the Reformation was run by those people. Then they had this other thing, which was a counter-Reformation, which was basically this guy called Loyola. And at that time, they were able to bring in a lot of resources, because the pirate flag, the skull and crossbones, on the flags of ships, is actually the pirates were actually with the Jesuits. There's a film that I would ask people to check out. It's called, with a guy called Jeremy Irons is in it, and Robert De Niro. And it's based on a true story, the film's called The Mission. It's about the Jesuits down in South America, Central America, because they went down there and they were using the native Indian people to make violins, etc., and to be shipped back to Europe to be sold. They were making massive profits out of this. But yeah, so the Jesuits are also the pirates of the Caribbean. They actually attacked Spanish, English, Dutch, Portuguese ships and took the gold and everything. So the pirates were also the skull and crossbones on their flags. So these are the Jesuits. So the plan was to undermine Christendom from that stage. I think it's about the 15th century. So yeah, and they've been at it ever since. Of course, you've got in America, you've got Georgetown University was set up by one of the richest men in America at the time. I'm trying to think what his name was. His first name was George, but I can't remember what his surname was now. But basically, he set up Georgetown University. And, of course, that was in the most Catholic state at the time, out of the 13 original states, was Maryland. And so, yeah, so you've got the major Catholics, the Jesuits coming into America. So, yeah, the Jesuits all the way through. They even went to Japan to try to convert the Japanese. There was a book by James Clavell, C-L-A-V-E-L-L, called Shogun. That was a TV series from the very, very late 70s, early 80s. I can't think what his name is for a minute. Names escaped me, but it's Shogun. And that was actually about the Jesuits going into Japan. Of course, they went into China as well. But yeah, they are the Jesuits, the Society of Jesus. Basically, they're just another satanic brotherhood. And not only are they a priesthood, they also have people who have this oath with them who are actually in other trades. For example, the captain of the Titanic, he was a Jesuit. So they're actually not just into the priesthood, they're also into politics and into in medicine throughout the whole of society. They are behind the scenes. Over.
That's Trump went to a Jesuit school, did he not? Over.
Indeed, over.
Yeah, most
of the politicians, a lot of the senators, and of course then you've got the 322, the skull and bones, which is the links in with the Jesuits as well, their symbol. And that was brought over, from Germany. And of course you've got the Bush family. These are all crypto Jews. What I've done in the last few weeks, again, I've really sort of come to a focus on, the Edomites actually in Britain and in Europe. They're right throughout the royal families of all Europe. And basically, a lot of it's through the Medicis. The Medicis were these people who also became popes as well. And these are these crypto Jewish families in Europe. And they're interbred with pretty much all of the royal houses. Like today, we have a situation. We have an illegitimate crown, Crown is the corporation, illegitimate monarchy, not only in Britain. Queen Elizabeth II is actually not the actual true queen. And we also have the King Willem II of the Netherlands. He's also illegitimate as well. But of course, by having these people illegitimate, it means the fact that the powers that shouldn't be are able to use these people to blackmail people like Clinton, like Bush, like Trump. They have them, they have things on them, and they can just use them day to day, and they're just actors on the stage in the Kabuki theater. Over.
Let me stop for a second here. I found the list of questions. Do you want to run through those quick, and then we can open it up for further questions after you answer this little list of questions I've got here? Over.
Sure, just pick out a few, then I can just give you a very, very short, concise answer.
Okay, well, I'll start at the top here then. Where was Constantine the Great born? Over.
Constantine the Great was, as in Constantinople, and the guy who started out started out Christendom, as it were, in 326 AD. He was born in York, in England. Over.
Wow, okay. Didn't know that. Apart from being emperor of the Roman Empire, where else was he king through his mother's lineage? Over.
He was the king of Britain, and through his mother, who was Helena, who was born in South Wales, and Helena was actually related directly to Joseph of Arimathea, or his would be Jacob, Joseph Theo, Rama Theo. Helena was, I believe, if I can remember rightly, related to Caradoc, who you've mentioned on previous programs, directly related to Caradoc, and Caradoc is actually the son of, I'm trying to think now, make sure I get this right, son of Joseph of Arimathea, the grandson, of Joseph of Arimathea. His father, Caradoc's father, was called Bran the Blessed, who actually was a priest of the church, the first church in Britain, and Bran's wife was the daughter of Joseph of Arimathea. Over.
Who started the process of Rome changing into a Christian empire? Over.
Well, that was Constantine, and he did that for a specific reason. He did it because he realized that they could not hold the Roman Empire, which was a disparate group of many, many nations and cultures and languages throughout Europe and Asia, etc., throughout the known world at the time, and even go into India and, of course, North Africa. They couldn't hold it together through the force of the sword, because basically there were not enough people, there were not enough true Romans around at that time to hold things together, to be part of the army, because quite a lot of the Roman soldiers had been annihilated, had been taken out by the Goths, the Visigoths, etc., and the Vandals and the Carthaginians over many, many, many centuries of warfare. Over.
Wow, yeah. What was Yahshua's name in Cumraeg, or Welsh?
Yeshua. Yeah. Well, that would still be Yeshua. Yahusha. That would be the same. Over.
Yeah, and is not Yesu also a different
word? Oh yeah. Okay, yeah. In Cymraeg, would be Yesu Grist, I E S U, second word G R I S T, Yesu Grist. And when Yeshua came to Britain, his name was already known. It's very, very important we stress the name, because the name of our Father, Yahweh, and his son's name are very, very important, because a lot of people say, yeah, they believe in God, but which God? In the Bible, if you go through it, people go through it, you'll see there are many instances where it says the name. So the name of I Am that I Am is very, very important. So we need to make sure that we are worshiping the name. And so Yesu Grist was known by the Welsh and the British people, because the Druids knew his name, because they already knew who Yesu was. They were already worshiping Yesu before he was even born, and even before he came to Britain. Over.
Yeah, that's interesting, because Yesu is exactly the way you would pronounce the Greek for Yesu Christos. So isn't that interesting? Because a lot of people try to say that his name is Jesus, and it's not. It's Yesu. And Yesu comes from the Greek letters that spell what we call Jesus. I'm getting feedback. Mute your mic when you're not talking. Anyway, Jesus comes from the German Bibles, because in German, J-E-S-U-S is Jesu.
That's right. But you see, the thing is, there was worldwide, there was no J in any language until the 17th century. Even King James was known as Iams, I-A-M-E-S at the time. J didn't exist in that time period. So there's no way that Jesus could be called Jesus. And I think what's actually happened is the corruption has come through, because remember, the corruption has come from Rome, because in Rome they had the Babylonian priesthood. The Caesars were actually high priests of the Babylonian priesthood, which is effectively the Satanists. So there's no doubt through the Roman and Greeks, they actually corrupted the Bible. So if we look at the word Jesus, it actually stands for Jupiter and Zeus, Jesus. Yeah. So what this is their way of, I said a few minutes ago, it's the name, it says in the book of Exodus, etc. You must call me by my name. So the thing, there are many gods on this earth, but there's only one true and living God, and that is Yahweh. It's in the name, I am that I am, and his son. People who go worshiping Jesus, they're not worshiping, they're actually worshiping a false name. And it's very, very important, Dan. Now, don't get me wrong, if there are people out there who haven't had the information that we've had, and they are good heart, I believe that Yahweh knows his people, and I don't think that they're going to be not let into the kingdom through just that alone. But I do believe that, you know, we are not ignorant. So those people who know the truth should abide by it. Over.
Yeah, amen. That's what I've said for years. People that are not familiar and don't have the knowledge, because when I was a boy, he answered all the prayers that I've asked him. We've talked about that many times. And back then, I was still calling him Lord, Jesus, God, etc. But my heart, he knew my heart, and my heart was with him. And then later on, he opened my eyes to the truth of his name and things like that. So he will work with you, as you said. If you have the right heart, he'll work you through that. And if you do love the truth, he'll lead you to that truth. It's just a matter of time. Okay.
Can I just mention this time, Dan, as well about the name again? Now, looking at the Hebrew, I don't see myself part of any particular. I'm a part of the ecclesia of God, as it were, of Yodeh Vaveh. But basically, I don't see myself with this title of this Christian identity or anything like this. I see myself as a follower of Yahweh, yeah? But the thing is, what we need to look at, the name again. And the Yahweh has been the kind of thing that Christian identity have kind of gone with. But I don't really believe that's correct, because if we look at the Hebrew, it should be Yahuwah. But now again, I don't think that God's going to actually, the true living God is going to mind too much, because let's be honest about it. With the Hebrew, you've only got the consonants. So basically, you have to try to work out what the other letters would be in between. But if we look at Yah, and of course, then we look at the V. I don't believe it should be the way. I think it should be Yahuwah. Yahuwah, and his son would be Yahusha. And in the Hebrew, we have in the Bible Yeshua. Yeshua doesn't actually mean Jesus. It doesn't mean Christ. It actually means salvation. And it's actually if you look into it, you'll find that Yeshua is not a male word in Hebrew. It's a female. It's a female word. Yeshua is a female word. So Yahusha and Yahuwah, I believe, is the pronunciation. But again, as I said, you know, you're not going to be kicked out of the kingdom of God because you can't pronounce it. Because let's be honest about it, we're just trying to work out what it is at the moment, because there isn't anything definitive on the page. Over.
Well, it's correct. And that's why I brought up the idea that pronunciation is not as important as the meaning of the words and the foundational things. What you need to know is that his name carries the connotation, I am that I am. The very word Yah is carried in I am, and we have the ancient Hebrew Hallelujah, which is all praise Yah, that comes from antiquity. So the portion that is more important to me is the fact that Yah, I am, and Yahuwah,
yes,
or Yahweh.
Basically, I think I think if we just say Yah, or I am that I am, then I don't think we can be wrong with that. So, you know, and you know what I mean? So if we just want to stick with that, that's good enough. Yah, or I am that I am. Over.
Right, exactly. So, you know, the pronunciation's not as critical as understanding what does it mean. Just like Yahushua or Yahshua, that's what he was called when he was here. And that's a common name. In English today, it would be Joshua. So it's a common name. That's why he was known as Yahushua HaMashiach. So he was the anointed Joshua. He was the anointed Yahshua. And the very name Yahshua means Yahweh saves. It's a compound Yahshua.
Yeah, that's right, Dan. And the book of Revelation tells us the fact that is not his true name anyway. That's the only name that we know him by here in this third dimension until the kingdom. He has another name. And we have other names, you know, on the white stones. You know, we have our name that God knows us by. So we're really, the thing is, it's, you know, we don't want to split hairs and get too much into semantics. I think as long as people, I think, use Yah, or I am that I am, but Yah, you know, Yah knows his people anyway. He knows from our hearts. It's a lot of people can go around saying, they can talk all day, day in, day out to people and say, I am a man of God. But at the end of the day, it's not what people's, the tongue, as it says in James, betrays the man. Really what it is, it's in our heart. Yah knows us from what's in our heart. He circumcised our heart. The laws are in our heart. It's from within. And this is the key thing. Over.
Yeah, amen. We got a question from Ralph in Canada. He says, does the word Lord mean Baal in ancient Hebrew? I think it's the other way around, isn't it? Baal is their term for a Lord. Over.
Yes, and I don't like to use the word Lord because it's not. There isn't any coincidence why, you know, the 7,000 times that Yodevave was taken out and changed to Lord. This is why if people have Esword on their computer, I would point them towards looking at the Esword, because they have on there the Scriptures Bible, which is good. It's out of America and South Africa. They actually have the name there. So at least, you know, and there's another which I'd highlight as well, the Sefer as well. It's actually free on the on Esword. And that's actually even better because it actually has transliteration of the names of the prophets. And, you know, when you have, it says in English, Isaiah, but that's not his name. His name is Yeshayahu, and it actually has a name, specific name. And this is the same with the other prophets as well. They all have the name. They're actually specific names, which have a specific meaning, and it's there for a particular reason. And the Hebrews, our people at the time, would have known had this specific name for a specific purpose. And over.
Yeah, amen to that. I see Henry's job has popped back up on the screen. Did you have something you wanted to ask or say, Henry? Over.
Yep, I have another question. Completely different direction going here now. This is a pretty kind of a deep question, but I'm sure Mike can answer it pretty succinctly. My question is on predestination, and specifically, do you believe that our souls were created in the heavenly realm, and that our purpose, the purpose of our human birth, was essentially for us as individuals to answer the call or pass the test, so to speak?
Exactly, Henry. The thing is, we have to be careful that we do not make our own doctrines or our own dogma. And as Pastor Dan would agree, the thing is, we have to take the word, and the word interprets itself throughout the scriptures. And there's not many, you know, at least you have two. Yahweh's designed it as a man, as a God of law, he has designed a system where there are at least two or three witnesses throughout, which is all consistent, because he is just and righteous. Yeah, so this is the way I look at it myself anyway, is that, as it says in the scriptures, you know, our spirits are there with Yah at the start. Now, I believe this is the start of this. What I mean by the start, I mean at the start of this earth age, this aeon, as the Greeks would say, A-E-O-N, aeon, it's a period of time. We don't know how the length of time it is, but obviously Yah knows the length of time it is. There would have been a first stage, a first eon, as it were, and that's actually mentioned in the second verse in the book of Bereshith, which is the beginnings, or what we know is Genesis from the Catholic Bible, Genesis. His second verse mentions about the earth became null and void. Now, of course, Yah is not going to make the world that way. It became that way. So the second verse is called the gap theory, so people can look into that in more depth, the gap theory. So there was definitely, in my mind, it's backed up in the book of Peter and Jude and many other books, and in the book of Enoch it gives an explanation on what happened in the first earth age, where Atlantis and Mu and Lemuria and all this system was destroyed at the start of the first eon of time. We're in the second eon of time, so our spirit, I believe, was created at the start of the second eon of time, and we're going to be very soon entering into the third eon of time, as it were, which is the kingdom of God. Yes, yeah, so our spirit was there. Yah actually created us as there. As it mentions in the scriptures, it mentions about predestination. Now, what predestination... Okay, I do not believe there's a thing called free will. It is better said as being free choice, because there is only God's will, okay, and it's our choice. We have a free choice. So we have a situation where we're putting into the physical third dimension that we call the earth, this existence we have for around about 80 years today, which would have been longer in the time of Moses, 120 years, and of course our forefathers and ancestors would have been 600, 700, 800, 900 years or so, because they were because they had the canopy at that stage, the canopy above, which is another story. But yeah, so we are predestined to be with Yah, and so we have this free choice, though, because this is the whole point. We've been given the gift of life, going through this day-to-day toils that we have, this tribulation that we have, and our job here is to get through it to the end, to overcome, so the fact that we can, as Brother Dan has mentioned on many occasions, about the silver being refined. We are being refined, we are being tested and we've been refined, and no evilness can come into the kingdom. So what we're doing is we're going through a test, so whereby all the different things, all the different possible things that could be thrown at us, and we're to see, even though that we may succumb to some temptations and some sins, etc., day by day, it's there as a learning curve, so the fact that, or learning pattern, so the fact that by the time that we do come into the kingdom, we have actually witnessed these different sins and different traps that we could fall into. So all the different things are ironed out or refined out of us by the time that we come into the kingdom. But it's our choice whether we do want to come into the kingdom or not. That's the free choice. So yes, we are predestined to be with Yah, but we still have this free choice. I wouldn't say free will, because I believe that's free will is actually something that's been brought in by man's philosophies. Over.
Excellent.
Does that sound logical and just?
Absolutely.
The way that Yah would set things up? Over.
That's pretty much the way I thought about it. But I like the way you put it.
You see, the thing is, then you have this guy, Calvin, who came along, John Calvin, who's, I believe, is an Edomite Jew. His name is John Cohen, I believe. So he was brought in to bring in more dogmas and doctrines. So I would ask everybody out there, true believers, to just eliminate all these different doctrines, all these things like St. Augustine and Calvin and Luther, these are just men. We are just like us, fallen. They cannot be trusted. And the only thing that we can believe in really is Yah. Over.
Amen. Amen. Phil, did you have anything you wanted to add? Over.
He had mentioned about about the Pontifex Maximus was actually the high priest of ancient Rome, and Julius Caesar was actually the first one to have been given that title, and it was really a ceremonial thing, and he only actually had to do his service once a year. And it was collective of all the religions within the empire, and so there was no distinction between the Roman gods and the Egyptian gods or anywhere else for that matter. And that's also one of the reasons why when Julius Caesar was assassinated in the full of the Senate, the Jews hated him because they had he had monopolized the gold and silver trade between the Roman Empire and India. And so this is how the Jew bankers started to get into power. And when he was assassinated, they were really saddened by that. And so the Pontifex Maximus, which is the Pope essentially, which is what the title for the Pope is basically doing exactly the same thing, where he's become so universal that he doesn't stand for anything, and he's undermining the very authority of the scriptures, if there were any to begin with, within the Catholic Church. And he's even just trying to do whatever he can to destroy any kind of religious institution as far as Christianity is concerned. And so he's universalizing it, just like the Roman Empire. So they're imploding. They're a victim of their own success, essentially. That's what's happening. So because they can't stand up for anything, either racially or religiously.
Yeah. Catholic, the word Catholic, as you know, Phil, actually means universal, mm-hmm. universalism. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is right at the very start. Now, Julius Caesar was no hero, you know, mm-hmm. and of course Caesar is just it means king. And he was no hero either, because you think about it, he would have been the head priest of the Babylonian priesthood, which moved over from Pergamum, or Pergamus, which we discussed last week. Pergamus was actually where in the book of Revelation is one of the churches there, but it's the seat of Satan, and he chose that time. So that was where the priesthood was, the Babylonian priesthood, before it came over to Rome, because Pergamum fell at the end, and before that, of course, it would have been Babylon. So you're 100% right, yeah. And this system has actually been in effect going back thousands of years, all the way back to this particular empire. But you know, like going back to Constantine, the main religion of the Roman Empire at that time was Mithra, and Mithra is, and they actually meet underground. So you know, their churches are underground. So straight away, the alarm bells start ringing when you have people meeting underground in the darkness, because Yah is of the light, and of course the adversary is of the darkness. And this is specific at the start of the book of Genesis. Of course, it mentions about the darkness. This is very, very important scripture for people to realize. But it's the true light, not the false light of Lucifer. Over.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Well, when it says sons of God, typically that's a idiomatic expression, meaning sons of knowledge, of understanding, rational thinking. So sons of God or sons of light versus the darkness, which is superstition, man-made doctrines, wickedness, things that are done in the dark, so to speak. So that all makes perfect sense. Now, do you want to go on with a few more of these questions? Over.
Yeah, I'm free, because as I said to you, I'm completely free. And the thing is, if anybody has any, like Henry, if he has any more questions, because this is the idea, is to hopefully to bring up more to do with the scriptures, rather than, you know, what's going on in the world at the moment, because we all know what's going on. We've covered that so many times, you know, and I don't really think that we can say anything different. There are names that have come into Britain at a later stage in history. Over.
Oh, interesting, yeah. What Roman official had a thistle on one side of his family coin, and why?
Yeah, now that was Pontius Pilate. If you can actually find the coins that actually has his head. He was, of course, he was the governor of Judea. He was from one of the aristocratic families, and so on one side of the he had a thistle. So it is thought that he actually was born in Scotland. Over.
So there's a tie between our ancestors in the Misty Isles, even all the way back into Rome. And I'm reading a book right now that's trying to tie the myth of Atlantis with the our ancestors from around the Baltic Sea. And I've just started the book, and it's very, very interesting. It talks about the Celtic peoples from the Baltic area were raiding, traveling, and doing commerce all the way down to Egypt at 1200 BC. So that's over 3,000 years ago. They had routes that went clear down into Egypt at that time. So the stories of Atlantis match up with the history of these people called the Sea People, or the people of the Northern Seas, very well. So it's pretty interesting how Father's revealing things at this time. Next question, who was Miriam, which is the Virgin Mary's mother, her actual name is Miriam. Who was Miriam's father? Over.
That would be Joseph. Now, there are problems if people look at the lineage in the scriptures is it Matthew and Luke. It mentions that the actual two lines of lineage, and what we have really is you have the two lines. You have the Miriam line, and you have the Joseph line. The Joseph line, and what it is, there is. It mentions there's 14 generations between.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the names that are in the King James Bible, you'll find there's actually only 13, and that can't be true. That can't be logical. So people assume that the Joseph that's in the line of Mary is her uncle, but actually, we believe that Joseph of Arimathea was her father. I believe that things have been obfuscated deliberately. That's who it is. So Joseph of Arimathea was actually Mary's father. Over.
Yeah, amen. That's very good.
Oh, by the way, and that's the reason, of course. You know that if we look at the scriptures, it was very, very important that you know that people realize that the day, the Yom, for our people was because of course the law of the land would have been that only a direct relative would have been allowed to take the body away. So he was that was another proof that he was a direct relative. He was his grandfather. He took his body, and of course then he gave his tomb to him, and he had to be before the Sabbath started. And there we are. Over.
Yeah, very good, very good. Another question, why is it today in...
would be mainly from France and some part of Germany, but they were also known as the Galatians because some of the people came back to live in the Middle East, in fact, in Asia Minor, Turkey as we call it today, and they were the people that Paul wrote to, the Galatians. He wrote to them because they knew their history, because they were people of the book. Yet they'd actually traveled into Europe and come back again. So the Galatians were the setting up of our people in Asia Minor, but from a later stage. They went into France and Germany first, and then they came back. Some of the, not all of them, but a certain amount of people were homesick for their area, for maybe for a better climate. So they came back to Asia Minor. So they were given this land of Galatia. Over.
So this question then follows: did you know that Cymru, which is Wales, was previously known as Galilee?
Yeah. Well, again, that's something that I might be wrong on when I sent you that information through, because it's further to that. I think I was wrong on that proposal. Cymru is our land. However, the Galilee thing does actually come into it, because Joseph of Arimathea, Joseph Ramathea, Theo, he was known by our people, our Israelite people there in Britain, as Saint Ilid, and that's actually from Galilee. The G was taken off the front of it from the word, and what we're left with is Alil. So that was Ilil or Ilid, and it's the name of most. There are a great number of churches named after Joseph of Arimathea, because he was known as Ilid. So there's St. Ilid's Church. St. Ilid's Church. So that's a very, very big church in South Wales, in Llantwit Major, which is just the west of Cardiff. And that's where Caradoc would have been living, and where Joseph of Arimathea would have come to feel safe and protected from the Romans. Over.
Okay, where was the Garden of Eden? That's a good question. Over.
Well, yeah. Well, again, most likely it would be we've got the Mount Zion and we've got Mount Sinai, and then we've got to the east. So I believe it actually would have been to the east of Mount Zion, and so going eastwards, that would probably be in modern day Iraq, possibly actually, so that would be in modern day Iraq, but right by the coast, by the Persian Gulf, is possibly where the Garden of Eden was.
Have you ever heard of the theories that it was in the Tarim Basin of Western remote China? Over.
But the Tarim Basin. Yeah, I know about the flood. But remember, at the time of Noah, the people, Noah had already moved by then. Our people had already moved by then. I would say that was an area where our people had gone to, and there was, you know, our major civilization was in the Tarim Basin. But I don't necessarily believe that's actually where Eden was. Remember, we moved from Eden. We were Adam and Chawa, Adam and Eve, were actually thrown out of the Garden of Eden, if we recall. So they actually went out of the garden. And the other people think that there's something major which is actually in the Saharan Desert. There may well be. There's evidence from looking at from satellite images, the fact that there should be a lot of water underneath the desert there. In North Africa, so that could be something very, very important as well. But yeah, the Tarim Basin, that's where the flood was. That's the biblical flood was. I believe our people were there, and that's where Noah was, and that's where a lot of the evilness was going on. But as you believe as well, I do not believe the biblical flood was worldwide. It was just in the arets of our land, in that area where things have been corrupt. Hence the reason why later on this Nephilim, the giants, etc., were around. There were still evil people around in the world, the rest of the world. And I believe that India was a place where Cain went. I believe that possibly he was given a mark on his forehead. And if you look at the religion, they have a mark. They have a mark in the middle of their forehead. And in the Hindu faith, they don't have capital punishment. So then Cain would have been free to go to live there in India, because they would not have killed him because they did not agree with capital punishment. They don't even kill any animals, because they believe in their religion they have reincarnation. They believe even insects and animals. They don't eat. They're vegetarians. They do not eat meat. The Hindus, because they believe all these creatures are maybe their forefathers. They believe in reincarnation. I believe that Cain, and every one of the Hindu gods, actually, if you look at the pictures, you'll see a serpent will be with the god. And isn't any coincidence where, when you look at CERN, they have Shiva, a big statue of Shiva, actually, at their headquarters there in Switzerland, in CERN. So I think it's very, very, very up to date, you know, and very apropos. So I believe that Cain went to India, and that's that part of it. Anyway, so there we are. Over.
Oh, that's a very good point. Phil, did you have anything you wanted to add? Over.
Yeah, I'd like to mention a couple things. One, I've been delving into a little bit about the theory of Hyperborea. I don't know if you've heard of that, in which the white race came from the north rather than from the south. And one of the problems that I have with sola scriptorum, which, in other words, the word alone, is it tends to isolate the world in one particular geographical region, which would be the Middle East, and sort of ignores the rest of the world. And when you look into Hyperborea was four lands that were divided into four separate rivers, which is what you have with it with the Garden of Eden. And and I find that its destruction is sort of reminiscent of a localized flood. And if you look at the origins of Egypt, you'll find that they were actually European colonists that came down from what's known as what is the Black Sea region. Because when you look at the imagery of the in the hieroglyphics, you'll see that the men were sort of ochre color because they work out in the sun, and the women were white, pure white looking, and that's because they lived indoors and raised a family. And this is the same sort of imagery that you get up in Greece and areas like that. Also, when it comes to the Hindu religion, it's so broad in its interpretation of the divine that it's destroying itself. That's why Gandhi didn't believe that Hinduism was actually a real religion. He saw it as just simply a broad ideological thing that encompassed an entire land. And if you look into the guy that actually assassinated him, you'll find that he killed Gandhi because he saw that Gandhi was turning India too effeminate. And the guy had been raised as he was a man, of course, but he was his parents raised him like a girl, because his three brothers had died young, and they decided to change that, and he hated Gandhi for what he does and what he did, and he's actually a hero among many Hindus. So Hinduism is such an extremely broad thing. It's universalism on a grand scale, where it becomes so personal that it doesn't have any greater meaning beyond itself, beyond the individual.
Yeah. You're right, Phil. And people don't know that Hinduism is just—it's not one god; it's millions of gods. It's millions.
Yeah,
they literally have gods.
Yeah,
which is
exactly.
Obviously important.
But those gods are supposedly there's like there's Krishna, the one god, which is supposed to be manifest within all these other various. There's an estimated 350 million gods in India, and so yes. and if you focus on that one particular, that the god part, you'll be able to reach nirvana. But if you don't, then you'll be reincarnated again. So that's how it works, because they're incapable of having any kind of specific structure. And there's no hell, of course, in Hinduism. You just simply come back and have to relive your life again until you get it right.
Exactly, a process like this. So I believe that Keturah actually went, one of the sons of Abraham, he went to India. Of course, you have this caste system. And there's no doubt that the Aryans, they were at the top of the caste system there. I think what's is our people have become corrupt over time, and our people who went to India became corrupt. We have Buddhism. The Buddha, of course, was a white man as mentioned on previous occasions, and I could totally agree with that. And as you said about Hyperborea, well, Hyperborea really is just another name for Atlantis. And what I suspect is the fact that Atlantis most likely was in the British Isles. If people go online, they can have a look, and they'll find that Britain hasn't always been an island. It was actually part of Europe. It was, and to the east we had it's called the Dogger Bank. It's like it's in the North Sea between the East British coast and the Netherlands and France, etc., and Germany. We were all attached, and there was this particular flood. A number of islands were submerged, and some islands were actually made smaller. What I suspect is the fact that the same people that built all the pyramids around the Earth, and they are literally all around the Earth, they're in South America, Central America. You probably find those pyramids in America itself. There's actually, there's pyramids in Europe, there's pyramids in Indonesia, Philippines, in China. In the Second World War, some pilots flew over China, and they took many, many photographs of huge pyramids. There's a huge pyramid currently in Crimea, in Russia, near the Ukraine. And, of course, there's pyramids in Egypt. They're worldwide. And this particular system, it's all to do with... is to do a geometrical system and everything else, all to do with worship of the stars. And so the same people who built the pyramids, I believe, also were part of this evil system that were in Atlantis, Lemuria, and Mu. Lemuria would have been New Zealand, Australia, Papua New Guinea, all those certain Polynesian islands which became separated. And Mu would have been where India is, because India was linked to Sri Lanka, which is, and so that was a bigger kind of thing there as well. So Atlantis, the giveaway of Atlantis, of course, is the Atlantic Ocean, and they haven't been able to find through the satellite imaging, they haven't been able to find anything that's under the sea in the Atlantic Ocean apart from up here in the northern part of the Atlantic Ocean. So I really do believe that there were evil people living up there. Up in Atlantis, and some of their, I possibly believe that there's a few of those people did survive, and they came through Europe, and also continued their evilness later on. I don't believe that all of them were wiped out. They could quite easily have survived on top of the mountaintops. What's interesting as well, there's In Britain, there is also mythology about the fact that that Noah may have also landed on one of the, actually landed on one of the mountaintops in the British Isles. But that's, again, I'm stretching it a bit there. But I'd be more inclined to think it was further towards the Perrin Basin. Over.
Yeah, I got a question from a listener. It says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 11, there's the mention of the four rivers, and that would correlate with rivers at the North Pole. Have you ever heard that before?
Yeah, that's the thing. You see, I like you, Dan, I believe that we're living on a flat Earth. And at the rim of it, there's this ice wall that keeps the oceans in, and it may go for quite a distance outwards. And I believe that there's above the firmament, there's water above the firmament, which was the canopy at some stage in the past, which allowed for us to live longer lives, etc., where we had more oxygen, etc. That's another story. And of course, there's water underneath. I believe there's water underneath us. And we have four corners of the Earth, because the circular circle, I think this is something to do with the Freemasonry, where they're laughing at us, where the circle on the square. I believe that what they're telling us is that there's actually, which is the truth, which is there's a dome over us, over the whole of us, and we're on the flat Earth, a flat plane, flat terra firma, and at the outer edge would be the ice. So this would allow for the four winds. We'd have four winds coming from four sides of the square, And this is where the angels are on four sides of the square.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is we're definitely in the firmament, and you know, they laugh at us about, they laugh about this all the time. There's certain things are put into films and TV programs and to cartoons like The Simpsons, where they have the dome. They're laughing at us about this. And even you have in the States, I believe, you have some of the American football stadiums or have domes over them, and they're actually the powers that be are putting in our faces. They're laughing at us over.
Yeah, Phil, you had something over.
Yeah, there's a map. If you just Google Hyperborea map, there's a map that was written made around the 16th century of Hyperborea, which is believed to be in the far north, and it has four different lands, and they're divided by four rivers, and that's where that comes from. And there's also a book called by Zen Garcia called Paradise: Sides of the North and the Mount of Congregation, and he argues that there's that Hyperborea is there, and that there's a mountain in the middle of that, which is right underneath the North Star, which is yes. the throne of the Most High. So
Mount Meru, Meru. I believe that's actually in the north. I think that's in the North Pole. Mm-hmm. I believe there's just two poles. North Pole's right in the center, and directly above, if we go upwards above the dome, this is where Yah sits, right in the middle of the dome, above the dome in the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
And
the most high
is Mount Meru. Mm-hmm. And the rim is the South Pole. The whole of the rim of Antarctica is the outside rim ice wall, which we call Antarctica. This is why they've only been able to sail around it. They keep on sailing around and around and around because it's the rim of the world as we know it. This is what I believe. Over.
I agree with you 100%. And it's also called Eden Meru, Mount Meru. So Hyperborea. So it has multiple names. So yeah, that's absolutely correct. So. And
it's interesting that people actually look into this, we are not allowed to go to Antarctica. You have to be, there's certain treaty, of course, all the powers that have been, all the governments are all working together. They know what the truth is at the heart of everything. They know Antarctica is actually this worldwide rim, or encompassing rim. And so nobody's allowed to go there unless you get specific permission. You're not allowed to go there. So if you're a rich millionaire and you went there with a big ship with some scientists to try to do your own research, and people have tried to do this, the navies there will send you back. They will not allow you to go there. So they obviously they have something to hide. They obviously have something to hide. Where the North Pole is, we don't know, because again, not many people can go to the North Pole either. So you know where that is. It's more than likely right at the center of what we know as being our Earth. And it's somewhere else that people don't really go to either.
Okay, let me one more question here, and we'll probably make this the last one for today, and then we'll pick up with it in the next program. But where actually is Bethlehem of the Old Testament Bible? Over.
Yeah, well, Bethlehem is the Bethlehem that we know of, you know, the House of Bread in what we call Israel today, or Palestine. It is there, but you know, we do actually have a Bethlehem in Wales as well, and we also have. What's interesting is the fact that where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found was in Qumran, which is of course on the eastern side, on the border with Jordan. And there is actually a Qumran in Wales. Qumran, Qumbran, Qumran. So, you know, which is interesting. So it's Qumran in Wales, and we have a Qumran there in where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. I think there are a number of people are trying to move things away from where they should be. You know, there's a lot of denial of the fact there was ever a Nazareth as well, which again, I do believe that, you know, where I've been to visit Nazareth, that's where Nazareth. I think it's just a strategy. It's another strategy, which is to try to undermine the Bible by saying that these places didn't exist and the Exodus didn't exist, etc., etc. Well, Alan Wilson, the Welsh historian, actually found, by going to the museum in London, they actually found that there's a piece of statue, a piece of monument, which has on there Egyptian. And of course, it was being deciphered from using the Welsh language and the Cumbrian. So they've actually managed to work out that it is something that relates to Moshe, Moses. And so it does actually prove that he did exist, and he was actually in today Egypt. But it was never called Egypt in the time of when those people were there. They were called, I think they called it Mir, which we would know as Mitzri. So yeah, but the Bethlehem is in Palestine. And why I believe this 100% is the fact that, again, at the center of the world of landmass, as we know it, is Mount Zion. And that's Yah's holy place. He said, that's my holy place. And it just happens to be there in Palestine. So yes, I do really believe it. Everything is centered around what we call Israel today. That's where the Bible, a lot of Bible history took place. And there are names of places that have come about since then. It's only because of our people, Danube and everything else, and names that are in Britain. It's interesting, there's lots of names in Scotland and in Wales in Britain have biblical names. There's a few villages in England called Egypt, and there's a place in, still on the map, Edinburgh, which is southern part of the city of Edinburgh, is actually called Egypt as well. So it's interesting that these names still, they're all over the European world. Over.
Yeah, Henry sent in that you can get a lot of details about the things we're talking about in the Book of Enoch, which, of course, they don't ever talk about. Enoch being E-N-O-C-H in English, anyway. So the people who could get the Book of Enoch and pick up a lot of information from that. Would you agree? Over.
That's right. And the Book of Yashar as well, the Book of Jasher, and the Book of Jubilees. They are all, I believe, they should have been canonized. And of course, they're in the Ethiopian Bible. They're still in the Ethiopian, as is the Book of Enoch. And it's interesting that Jubilees only has a certain history, though, up to a certain time. It's interesting, it mentions about the death of Cain in the Book of Jasher, and it mentions about the death of Cain in the Book of Jubilees. So he did actually, and he was given judgment, justice by Yah, because he died in the same way as he killed Havel, Abel. He killed him with a stone, he actually murdered him. He was from the same house, as it were, a family, even they were half brothers. But Cain was killed by a family member. He was killed by Lamech. So it's. So basically, it mentions in the Book of Jubilees he was going to be killed by a stone of the same. In other words, a member of the same family. And in the Book of Jasher, it mentions how he was physically killed, which was by an arrow, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. So yeah, all these books, the books of Jubilees, Book of Jasher, which is a very, very excellent book of history. If you ever want to know exactly why Jacob. Esau gave up his birthright, so you can find that by looking in the back Book of Jasher. Again, you could be able to find these online as well, so you don't even have to buy them. Just look online, the Book of Enoch, Book of Jasher, Book of Jubilees, and there are probably many other scriptures as well which are worth checking out as well. Over.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I think we've been over 2 hours, so we're going to go ahead and wrap it up for today and then continue our discussion at another time. I've got a bookmark here on the questions. Phil, do you have any closing comments? Over.
Yeah, I thought this was a great discussion. I really, really enjoyed it an awful lot, and I wanted to thank you so much for being on the show. And I want to thank you for taking my call, and of course, I think that you'll find that a lot of these images and stuff that we find, like for instance with the Hyperborea and other things, you'll find them in our imagery that we have with our ancestors. Our ancestors, for most of their history, had kept the history done orally and not written, because they saw it as much more important, and it gets to the heart much more than something that's on a piece of paper, which can be very cold and meaningless. And you'll find that this is done by the Druids. This is done by the Norse people. And while even the Vikings were very, very literate, the literacy was done with the runes, was done on a minimal level, because they saw that speaking and sharing around the fire and telling people your ancestral truth was far, far more important than if you keep it correctly, it can be corrupted much less than if you have to hand it over to having it printed up on a piece of paper, which sometimes people tend to think that it's permanent, and it's not. And you can obviously tell with the corruption of the scriptures over time that it certainly can be corrupted just like anything else. But if you keep the truth throughout our history verbally, like we are doing now, it keeps it alive much more than it does in any other way. Plus, it allows us to bond together as a family, and I think that's very important. And you'll also find that a lot of these images, like for instance the Volknut, which is a symbol of the All Father in the Odinistic religion, is actually a model of Hyperborea, which has that mountain with the three sides, and then it has a ring of resurrection, which is the ring of the flat Earth around it. These kinds of things can kind of interconnect there, and merge together over time, because even though we've been separated, we're coming together, I think, in an incredible way.
We're in the time of Malachi 4, brothers, in the time of Malachi 4. Thanks a lot, Phil. Hopefully, you'll be able to join us on the next session.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Yep. Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless. Yep. Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless. Yeah, I think Phil's contribution was fantastic. In fact, very much so, because other things can be discussed. You know, some other things can be brought out. I think maybe, you know, if we spend more time on more positive things like this rather than the doom and gloom. I know it's necessary to keep, you know, keep people abreast of the news to a certain degree, but these things are more positive. And as Phil touched on, it's the oral tradition. It's, you know, the word is no doubt that Yah has protected his word, because even though people like Sir Francis Bacon, a Freemason, did the final edit on the King James Bible, and a lot of things have been politicized and words have been changed, it's amazing that thousands of years after that, the word still rings true, and you can see the light that still comes out of the word. So there's no coincidence there. Yah has protected his word. And we don't have to have every specific word, and every particular sentence doesn't have to be 100% spot on, because at the end of the day, we understand what the key and significant part of it is. And you can break it down to the following. You either have faith or you don't. It's as simple as that. So all I can say is thanks for Phil for ringing in, and for Henry as well. Be more than pleased in another occasion to ring in again, and to be part of this wonderful conversation. Thanks, Dan, for being such a humble host and giving me so much time. So, Yahuwah be praised, or Yah be praised, and I hope everybody has a very, very good week or two or three until I actually come back and speak again. And there we are. So, Yah bless.
Yah bless, brother. Thanks a lot for your valuable information, and have a blessed day, and we'll talk again soon. Take care. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, we want to thank Mike coming to us from the southern part of England, because he can't get back into his home country of Wales because of this stupidity that's going on today. So we thank him for that and all of his valuable information, a traveler. We thank Henry up there in Connecticut for calling in, and also Phil in Florida. And for our many, apparently we reached almost 200 live listeners, so praise Yahweh for that. And again, we don't want to get caught up on pronunciations. I talk about that all the time. My name is Daniel in English, but if you go to France, it's pronounced different. If you go to Scandinavia, it's pronounced differently. Etc. Okay, so we don't get hung up on the pronunciation. What's important to know is our Father's name has a meaning. I am that I am. All right, that's what matters. So I got something feeding back here. I don't know where the heck. Hold on a minute. Okay. Apparently my software did not update properly, so apologize for that. Anyway, so again, brothers coming together, we are in the time of Malachi chapter 4. If you read that, it's a short chapter. You should read it often. Much like we talk about Psalm 91, the soldier's psalm, this is a very important time that you memorize that one as much as you can, or at least read it daily. Malachi chapter 4 is the time of Elijah the prophet, who would come back to do what? Bring back our people into the family. This is that time. Now, there is a great war against the wicked that is coming. But the family has to come together first, and there has to be a weeding out of our family of the terrors that walk amongst us, the traitors to the white race. And we have to come back as a family. Once we come back as a family, then, of course, the enemy knows their days are pretty much over. That's why so much effort is made to propagandize white people, to keep us divided, to keep us afraid, to keep us in fear mode. Turn off that damn Tel-I vision, Talmud vision. That is the creator of most of the angst, the consternation that our people feel from all this porn, fear porn that's being poured out. It's because when you're afraid, you easily give up your rights. When you're afraid, you become irrational. Okay? We're supposed to think rationally. We're supposed to be sober. The scriptures call it, be of sober mind and think upon things with a rational brain, as Yahweh intended it for us to be. With that being said, again, we thank everybody that called in, and for Brother Mike over there in Wales. And we thank the multitude of listeners that came in here with the live show today. We thank Angel for keeping me updated on that and the sound quality, etc. It's a team effort. That's the beautiful part, right? We're coming back together as a family, and I can see that. I've been blessed to sit here in the command center and see this reaching out. The tentacles of the Holy Spirit is reaching out across this earth. And it's shaking our people by the shoulders and getting their attention. So while the enemy, of course, has evil intentions with all the things that are happening, Yahweh is also taking all of these things to awaken the spirit of our people. And Angel says it's Hell-Eye vision. Yep, Tel-Eye vision, Talmud vision, Hell-Eye vision. It's just evil, okay? That is one evil device. The programming come across it is just a waste of time. And do yourself a favor. Just tune out all that stuff and limit yourself on how much of this fear porn crap you listen to, okay? It's good to be aware of what's going on, but you also do want to inundate yourself with all of this and overwhelm yourself, all right? Stay positive. Keep the vibrational frequencies in the positive zone. We're the children of light. We're the children that will overcome this world of darkness and evil, and we will walk in the light, and we will represent our Heavenly Father as we do that. So just remember that. As Brother Mike referred to the silver, we're being tested in the fires as silversmith purifies silver. Okay, that's mentioned in Scripture, and the beautiful story says that the silversmith applies the temperature, the flame, to the silver. It must be done perfectly right, because if there's too little fire, there's not enough cleansing. If there's too much fire, it consumes the silver, it burns the silver, which is the perfect analogy of the fires of tribulation Yahweh puts on His people, okay? And then the question was, well, silversmith, how do you know the silver is pure? How do you know you're done? He says, I take the silver away from the fire when I see my reflection in it. Okay, Yahweh says, my brothers and sisters, my children, why don't you understand? The fires of persecution, the judgments that are poured out on this earth, they go away when I see my reflection in humanity. When I see my reflection in my children, I gave the commission when Adam was put on this earth. to be his administrators. That's the job. Look at it. Adam was put here to accomplish what? To administer, to keep the garden, to keep law and order, keep Yah's law. Okay, that's the job of Adam, Adamic man, white man. And if you look at history, as the brothers were talking to, the pyramids and all of the ancient civilizations, it's the travel of the Adamic man, folks. Look up Kennewick man from Washington State here in the United States. Okay, Kennewick man is a very well-preserved mummy found along the Kennewick River in Washington State. And guess what? They estimate that that mummy is at least 7,000 years old, and guess what he is? Yeah, that's right. He's a Caucasian. He's an Adamic man. Okay, Kennewick man. And there's other examples too, but that's one of the ones that comes to mind. So, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to share, and that we have access to this media to reach out across the world, to share the knowledge that we all come to as we travel different paths, as we go down different rabbit holes. We dig up these things in a quest for truth, because as we knit this all together, these little bits of truth, we get a garment, we get a quilt, so to speak. And with that, we're armed with knowledge and truth, and we can use that to build upon, because that's the only thing that sets us free. Sets us free from the fear porn, sets us free from the liars and deceivers, sets us free from the medical mafia that wants to poison us, sets us free from government that acts like the beast that wants to devour the whole world, sets us free from the bankers that care nothing about the quality of life on this earth. They simply want to make more and more money, even though they control trillions of dollars at this time. Evil monsters that walk amongst us in shoe leather. As the world comes to awake, Father Yahweh, we pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to pour out on this whole earth, that the sons and daughters of Adam would learn that we are a family and come back together as a family and behave as a family and stop trying to put daggers in our backs and all the bickering and the gossiping that goes on. Put that all to bed so that we can do the job we were put here for. And all of mankind benefits, just as it says, those who bless Abraham shall be blessed. We are the children of Abraham, not the Jews. The Jews are the Revelation 2:9 imposters. They're liars, deceivers, murderers, and thieves. They've always been that way. The history of the Jew has always been that way. Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's book, Synagogue of Satan, goes into that. I wish people would read it, Father Yahweh. Again, we ask for your protection, Father, from our enemies. We ask that you would walk with us and guide us and forgive us our shortcomings and keep us on the straight and narrow path, especially as we come close to the end of this age and we look forward to your coming and sitting upon the throne and you to be our one and only King. We ask all these things in the name of Yah. Hallelujah.